B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a Tuesday. It's still a little chilly out there, but it is the Mike Missanelli show. We're going to warm you up. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. I realized today when I put this this on here that I was okay on one side. Like one breast was okay, the other was not. And you got Penn State logo here. This was just a shirt. I felt like on casual today, so it's not like I'm making any kind of statement at all. But I realized, Tyrone, that I'm unintentionally endorsing someone. And like Michael Jordan with the Dream Team, I've got to correct it.
You're going to correct it.
I'm making a point to all endorsers out there that I'm an equal opportunity endorser, that anybody who would like to endorse me officially can do so. So what I'm going to do here is just cover the logo like Jordan did with the Dream Team in 1980. And I'm going to go with the American flag here. All right?
Yeah. The scotch tape.
American flag.
Make sure it stays.
There.
There you go.
We okay now?
Yeah, we're good.
That looks good.
All right. So, like, nothing personal against the, you know, the swoosh. But I have to keep myself open to all endorsements.
Yeah, everybody hear
so
that?
I'm going patriotic today.
Mike Miss is a sneaker deal free agent.
I am. Yes. I am a sneaker deal free agent. Anybody who would like to endorse me, I will take your endorsements. That goes for Under Armour. It goes for Nike. It goes for Reebok. It goes for Adidas. Whatever else is out there these days.
Puma. That's making a comeback.
Right, Puma. I go with the P hat every now and then. Now, I realize I can't do anything about this little polo logo, but it's not the same as the swoosh.
Nah.
The swoosh is more of an athletic brand. The polo logo is more of a, you know, and it's just the hat.
Yeah.
But I'm making a statement today like Mike did. Because I want to be like Mike. Because I am Mike.
I was just going to say that you are Mike.
Right. So here are the things we need to talk about today, because there's a lot of lingering stuff. First of all, the Sixers with a magnificent win last night. I mean, they crushed that team. That Houston team was feeble. And the way they played James Harden, early on, they ran a lot of different guys at him, and he still scored. But then in the second half, they said, all right, now we're going to crunch your spear. We're going to double team you as soon as you come over half court. I've never seen an NBA team do that, because when he realized that the Rockets had nobody else that could hurt him. And it was brilliant coaching by Brett Brown. But we're not going to hear that today, right? So the Sixers with an easy win. A new Cole hero, my boy Corey Brewer, last night comes up big. With a little energy. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're playing in a pickup basketball game and Corey Brewer acts like he did last night, he gets punched in the head. There's no question. He scored on that one play, and then he ran over to Harden and put his butt into him, like to post him up in the inbounds pass. That deserved a right hook,
yep,
to be honest with you. But he's a Sixer, and all's good. So let's talk about the issue that most people were talking about today. And this is this leftover story that was in the Philly Voice yesterday. What to make of Carson Wentz's standing in the locker room? Now, there's a lot of issues here. And it was being talked about on Get Up this morning, right? Let's hear what Greenberg had. We had that, Tyrone? Let's hear what Mike Greenberg had to say about it. Because I'm not really sure he hits the point on it. But he's talking about a certain part of this particular story. Here's what he had to say.
Anonymous sourcing is critical to the journalism business, and no one is suggesting that you shouldn't use anonymous sourcing in situations that involve safety and people's lives or millions of dollars or whatever the case may be. But to try and get a personal grudge out there into the zeitgeist by just throwing anonymous quotes out there is the dictionary definition of cowardice. And so to whatever players or sources close to the team, which I'm not in any way questioning, I'm sure there is validity to this and that people actually said it. But just know that when you are saying that and putting your words out there without attaching your name to it, you're a coward. Mm. That's what cowards do. You're not making the world any better. You're not making the team any better. You're not saving or, in fact, helping anyone. You were just trying to push your own personal agenda and narrative for the betterment of no one but yourself or whatever your reasons are. And if you look up coward in the dictionary, there should be a picture of that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't know what planet you live on, but it happens to be reality. Like, what's wrong with pushing your personal agenda? You're not a coward. You can't identify yourself if you've got a problem with Carson Wentz and you're telling a reporter you have a problem with him. You can't identify yourself. You're going to step up. I'm not going to be a coward. I'm going to identify myself. Then what happens to you? If that's how you really feel, you can't say it anything but anonymously. So I don't know what the hell Greenberg's talking about. The point of it is it true within the ranks of the Eagles team? Or is it just a segment of people? Or is it anybody at all? We don't even know if the story's true. We have no way of knowing whether this story is true, right? I have no reason to doubt that the guy, the reporter, talked to some people who fostered this kind of opinion. So where does it leave you? It leaves you really nowhere. The other part of it is there's this mistrust of the press. Oh, here we go. The press is trying to break up team unity. Press isn't trying to break up team unity. If you're a journalist and you're talking to some people and a couple of players who are important to the team tell you something like this, what are you supposed to do? Ignore it? The Eagles aren't paying you. You're an independent journalist. You're being paid by another entity. If you think you have a story, you have a story. My problem is not with the guy getting a story like this and publishing it. My problem is, and I go way back and I talked about it yesterday, my problem is how does this story get in print so easily? Because to me, it's not a story unless it's a majority of the people that feel that way about Carson Wentz. You're making the point that there's discord in the locker room over the team leader. You can't make that point unless there's a majority of people who have that discord. That's the only thing that I see here. Now, I know a lot of people have been talking about this all day. I'm not sure what you're spinning on it is day two. The bottom line is, whoever it is, let's just say, I don't really want to throw him in, but I'll throw him in. Just who could possibly have an axe to grind? The likely choice would be the guy who's not getting the ball from Carson Wentz. And for a long time, that was Alshon Jeffrey. Now, he hasn't tweeted in support of Carson Wentz. So, like, suppose it's him. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's a guy who's shooting off his mouth at a particular time where he felt like shooting off his mouth. It doesn't mean anything to team harmony because it's a guy blowing off steam. So, like, this story, while it's interesting to talk about, and it's interesting to get in depth with it, what it really means, to me, it really means nothing. And I could be wrong about that. And I'll go over to Tyrone. Tyrone, what does this story mean to you right now? You've heard people talk about it all day long, and you've heard their opinions. What do you now decipher from this whole thing?
What it means is that the NFL locker room is like any workplace on earth. And I think we forget that. I know it's different in some ways, but there's no workplace where everybody likes everybody. No workplace. And if six guys, let's say he said half a dozen, let's say it was six out of 53, really don't like Carson. That would be, to me, normal. If we asked the whole company about you, there's people who would like you. There would be people who don't like you.
And they would do it anonymously. And in fact, there has been a story that was published years ago where people within this company had negative things to say about me anonymously.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm angry.
And I know who the rat was. But
this is where I disagree with you a little bit. If said player has an issue with Carson Wentz, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, everyone who works here that I actually interact with knows exactly how I feel about them.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all the time. Yeah. Maybe to my detriment.
Right. And you would probably say the same thing about me. That I'm pretty much the same way.
Yeah. And I think that's the proper way, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know if coward's the word, but if you have a problem with Carson, I'm not saying don't go to the media anonymously.
Go to him?
Go to him first. If Carson does not give you the answer that you like, if you still have an axe to grind after you discuss it, then fine. And my question then becomes, if it was whoever, did you go to Carson first? That's what you have to do. You don't go to the media first. That is cowardly, in my opinion. It don't go to someone else. If you have a problem with me, tell me. Don't go to someone else, because that, to me, is cowardly.
But see, here's the thing. That's probably not realistic either, because when a reporter develops a relationship with somebody, that person can feel that he can talk to him and get a little message out and get it published, because it's more of an impact to get it published than it is just to go to talk to Carson Wentz, right? It's an issue. So by doing that, you say, I'm not the only one who feels this way, right? And that's your message. That's what you want to get out. But here's the thing. Like, I in this day and age, and with all due respect to the guy who wrote the story, because I'm not trying to chastise him at all, I don't know who to believe these days. This is an age where there are stories that are fabricated because of the competition in this business to get stuff out, to get your brand on it, and in some perverse way, to get some kind of respect that you're on the scene and you got this great story. There's no longer a question on whether the story is true or not. The question is getting it out to get people to think that it's true so they can talk about it. We live in a different age now. And that's the way it rolls. And I pretty much accepted that. There's nothing you can do about it. I was telling you before the show about how journalism used to be. Like, when I would write a story, it would have to go through 5 different people before it saw the light of day. And as much as we complained about it as the authors of the story, in the end, we didn't have final say. Today, every writer has final say on what goes in.
That's troubling.
I have learned to take it with a grain of salt. I know the landscape now. I know the social media proliferation. So I go, all right, whatever. That's out there. It's now for myself to understand whether it's true or not. And if it's true, what are the ramifications? So I assume, okay, it's true. What are the ramifications? The ramifications are nothing. Because an entire team doesn't feel that way. So it can't possibly hurt what the Eagles are trying to do. That's the way I look at it. It doesn't have any legs, the story, for me. For that reason.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you already seen the leaders of the team have pretty much unanimously come out publicly, at least, and supported
Carson.
But
see, that doesn't mean anything to me either. Again, it's all about your perception. Like, just because Fletcher Cox comes out and says, the story's wrong, I support him, that doesn't mean that Fletcher Cox really feels that way. That means that Fletcher Cox may be protecting his ass. I don't know. I don't know Fletcher Cox personally. I don't know anybody who put these tweets out, whether they're sincere or not, or whether they just don't want to be labeled as a source. Because there's a way you protect yourself by coming out. I can protect myself. Oh, my God, there's a story. It's an anonymous source. They might think it's me. I'll reverse the polarity here, and I'll come out with a tweet that says, I support Carson Wentz, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't mean that they weren't one of the sources.
So then
I'm too cynical to believe that anybody could be that true in soul to come out. Like, even a guy like Fletcher Cox, I go, all right, maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
Malcolm Jenkins, too, is just a liar? Because that would be basically being a liar.
Listen, here's what we know, logically. There's no reason not to come out with a tweet in support of Carson Wentz. He's going to be the quarterback from this point on. Unless you're on the record supporting him, you could be labeled as a possible source that was in this story. That's the logical view of it, right? So if you're really smart, you come out and you support them, whether you are one of the sources or not. Nobody's true at heart. In this day and age, you think people are true at heart?
Yes.
This is a terrible society. This is a terrible society.
You're right.
That we live in.
And people are wretched.
People are no damn good.
But but through the wretched, there are still good souls.
I agree, Ty.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wretched.
I remember my first law school class. One of the deans came out there. He's addressing like 300 people, freshmen. And he goes, here's the first thing you have to learn if you're going to be in law school. People are no damn good. That was it. That was the premise. So everything you studied was based on the premise that people are no damn good. And everybody's out to get each other. And that's how you have to think as a lawyer. I know. It's a desolate view.
That must be great to deal with on an everyday basis.
It's a desolate view, Nat. But that's, you know, sometimes it's the reality you have to face.
I don't know.
But you know me. I'm all about America. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to have Corey Brewer will come on at 4 o'clock today. He was a big hero last night. Everybody loved him. I like him, too. And when they acquired him, I said right away he becomes the first best guy off your bench. Right? Remember I said that?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, it's not because he's overly talented, but he gives you a little something. He can make a little bit of a difference because he's played in this league. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get into the show. And I want to hear from you today on the Mike Misnelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
New Sixer, Corey Brewer on the Comcast Business Hotline. Corey, how you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. You know, big win last night for us, so you always feel good after a win.
Well, you looked happy playing last night's game, and so I'll ask you from the jump. When did you know you were going to get the starting assignment, and your starting assignment is the guard James Harden?
I didn't know until I got to the arena right before film session.
So what was your reaction to that? Because, listen, you signed a 10-take contract. That's probably going to get extended. But this is a really big spot they throw you in last night.
I was ready. Hey, the opportunity. You know, anytime I get an opportunity, you got to be ready to take it.
Now, you stayed in really, you look like you're in really good shape. I'm curious to know, like, in activity, how you stayed in shape. Are you just one of those guys that can run all day?
I'm one of those guys who run out of day, but also I worked out every day when I live in Houston, so I worked out every day, and I do a lot of running. So.
All right, let me take you back to last night and your plan for Harden and what you tried to do with him. Now, you know him. You were a teammate of his, and you really got under his skin a little bit, but before you got under his skin, you were defending him a certain way. Do you know what he doesn't like?
Yeah, I pretty much know what he likes and what he doesn't like. But for me, I know if I can be aggressive on him and try to wear him down, and late in the game he's going to start missing shots. But, you know, I just got to stay on him.
What kind of talking was going on? Because I saw a lot of it last night. What were those little conversations like?
Well, you know, it's always going to be a little talking when it comes to me and him, just because I know him pretty well. He knows me. And it was all fun.
So it wasn't malicious. Yeah. It was just fun.
No, I wasn't trying to, never malicious like that.
Yeah.
I play hard. He knows I play hard. So I guess if it was anybody else, it may be different. But he knows I'm going to play hard anytime I play against him.
All right, the moment that people looked at last night and had a lot of fun with is when you make the basket and then you sprint to him and you kind of like post him up, like you get your butt into his belly and he pushes away. I don't know what happened there. Describe what you were trying to do on that.
Not let him get the ball. The man's averaging 50 points the last whatever. He's amazing. So I'm not going to let him touch the ball. That was my whole objective all night, was not to let him get the ball. And I think I did a pretty good job with that.
You did. And on that play, he got frustrated and pushed you out of the way. And you had a ball with it.
Yeah, it's great. We get offensive fouls, our ball. We push the lead up. Everybody's making a big deal. Like, oh, why you do that? Hey. it's a little bit of everything when it comes to basketball. I do whatever it takes to win.
Corey, you've been in this league a long time, and now you come to a situation like the Sixers, who are trying to break into that top four, and the, you know, there's the Torontos, the Bostons, the Milwaukees. What is it like being on this team, and what do you see with this team right now?
It's great being on this team. We got a lot of really good pieces. You know, I feel like we got championship pieces. So for me, just to have the opportunity to help these guys, it's amazing, and I think we can do big things. You know, if I'm here or not, these guys are really good.
You know, tell me what it's like. I mean, you're watching Ben Simmons, you're watching Embiid every day, you're practicing. I know you guys don't have a lot of time to practice, but when you see those guys now close up, what are your impressions of them?
Really good, man. Ben's going to be really good. You know, he works hard, and he's very talented. The things he does to be the size he is, and then Jimmy's really good, man. Jimmy's a special player. And then when it comes to Joel Embiid, man, he's amazing, and he's only going to get better. He can do everything. He's 7 foot. He can put it on the floor. He can shoot it. He has great post moves, and defensively, he's great, which I love.
What do you know about Philly, and what do you see so far? Because that place was rocking a little bit last night, and you know, from this point on, there's going to be like sellout after sellout. And I don't know if you've been used to that, but the town is invested in this team to do something. You see that?
Oh, yeah, I can see. Philly, they love their basketball right now. So for me to come in here and just help anywhere I can is great. And the city, it's a great city. You know, they like blue-collar guys, and it's like I'm one of those guys, and I just embrace the city. Hope they embrace me.
I'm curious to know what it is to be like you to survive in the NBA as many years as you had as a role player. Because it's got to be a grind. I mean, you when you get minutes, you got to take advantage of stuff. I wonder what that's like at this stage of your career.
Like you said, you got to take advantage anytime you get minutes. But for me, I know how to win. I've won at every level, so it's all about winning. You know, everybody says, this guy's better, this guy can do that. But can this guy help you win? It's not necessarily every day. You don't have to score to help win. It's a lot of other things that go into basketball, a lot of little things that people don't see and don't understand about the game. And for me, I do all the little things to help a team win. And little things can make a team go to the next level.
Yeah, so who taught you the winning formula? What exactly is the little thing you're talking about, and where did you get that?
Been like that my whole life. My high school coach, when I was in ninth grade, he said, if you can't play defense, you can't play. So I learned to take charges. I got to college. Coach Donovan said, you got to guard the best player every night. So I guard the best player every night. So for me, it's been a grind my whole life, so this is nothing new. And I love playing basketball, so I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Well, it's pretty amazing that team that you guys repeated, and I don't know if it's going to happen, you know, like that. You stayed there, and three of you guys are still in the league. You guys have that bond that will last forever from Florida?
Oh, for sure. That's my guys. I talked to Al the other day. I talked to Joakim. You know, we're all still close. You know, you can't break our bond, man. We were roommates for 3 years. We've been in the NBA for 12 now. Hey, we make it work, and there's never going to be another team like ours.
Are you amazed that Horford still plays at the level he plays at?
No, of course not. I think we all take care of our bodies. And he takes care of himself, and we all still play like we're young.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.